Our reading this morning comes from the Reverend Dr. Thomas Owen Toll, who spent many years serving with his wife, Carolyn Owen Toll, in the First Unitarian Church of San Diego. It's from one of his many books. It is from Living the Interdependent Web, which is actually a curriculum which addresses our principles. And this particular section of it is called Covenantal Theology. Tom writes, "Covenanting means that we promise loyalty to one another by staying in close intellectual and spiritual touch." Staying in close intellectual and spiritual touch as we engage our principles. As covenanters, we confess that we cannot shape or articulate our Unitarian Universalism alone, but must do so within the caring critique and support of community. As Conrad Wright, Unitarian Universalist Church historian, phrased it in his 1983 paper titled A Doctrine of the Church for Liberals, JLA loved the word doctrine. Some of you may not, but hear him out. Covenant is an agreement made between parties, not a statement by an individual to be discarded or forgotten unilaterally. A church united by a covenant is made up of people who have made commitments to one another. Or as Unitarian Universalist minister Alice Blair Wesley states, the most precious freedom always, a marvelous gift we choose to accept, is the freedom to enter into the covenant, the freedom to promise mutuality. All other freedoms depend ultimately upon this one. The pledge of mutuality must, by definition, include the promise to respect the individual religious insight, which can never go unvoiced or be bypassed or coerced without violation of the covenant of mutuality. Mutuality. Covenanting refers not to substance, but to action, not to common theology, but to a shared process. It refers to challenge and call. It specifies what we do together. Some pithy words to consider today. Shortly after completing my third interim ministry in Lincoln, Nebraska, I moved to Redwood City, California, on the peninsula, to begin my fourth interim ministry there. I was surprised and pleased to receive an email from the Reverend Dr. Roger Jones, welcome me to the area and wishing me well in this ministry. He was the only one who did that. Wow. I have known Roger for many years, working with him on the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association, then called Executive Committee. I'm not really clear what they call themselves. The board. Okay, thank you. He keeps up. I got sidetracked. He also wanted to know if I would be willing to help create a covenant of right relations between himself as the senior minister to all of you here in Sacramento and the Reverend Douglas Kraft, your new minister emeritus. Now, I could dissemble and say, why on earth would Roger want me to do that? But that would be to deny my minor in ethics at John Carroll University, a Jesuit institution, and my continued interest in the code of professional practice of the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association, in which I was deeply immersed while Roger and I served together on the UUMA exec during the early noughties. That's what I call the decade of the turn into this millennium. I agreed on the condition that I meet with both of them together to discuss this covenant and its implication for this particular congregation. Doug happily agreed to do so as well, and we had a lovely meeting in late October. Thank you, Doug, for being so gracious and attentive in that meeting. From my point of view, we share a common vision, and the meeting provided a strong foundation for the covenant we will discuss in detail at the forum after this service. So today, together, let's just get some fundamentals. Let's explore and begin by exploring what a covenant is and isn't, and how that plays out in our lives as individuals and as congregations. So, what is a covenant? Well, you heard Tom Owen Toll's many definitions in the reading shared just a few minutes ago. Perhaps the best known covenant in the Western culture we live in is from Jewish theology and is symbolized by the rainbow. After the great flood, during which Yahweh destroyed all of the people of the world except Noah and his considerably prodigious family, and a lot of animals, which always broke my heart as a child, Yahweh placed a rainbow in the sky as a symbol of God's promise to Noah and the Jews, and I hope to the animals, we haven't heard from them yet, that he would never again destroy all the creatures on the earth. This promise included the proviso that the Jews would live in right relationship with Yahweh, honoring the values he set before them in the Ten Commandments. It was a reciprocal agreement, a give and take, a pilpul, as some of the Jews call it. So leap forward at least 4 to 5 millennia to 2001, when the Commission on Appraisal of the Unitarian Universalist Association defined covenant thus: a covenant of a community is a set of mutual agreements, mutual commitments, agreements, and promises that form the bond of the community, its center. This comes from their publication, Belonging, The Meaning of Membership. We were starting to think about what does it mean to be members of a community. And they continue, we often say that our congregations are covenantal communities. In my first interim, the Indianapolis cluster of the UU Ministers Association began to explore a covenant for its members, and we asked two key questions which highlight the concept of mutuality. What do you need from us? What can and will you promise to the group? Reciprocal, mutual. These clearly are covenantal questions. As UUs, we are not founded on creeds to which one must assent that are handed from above, but on covenants into which one enters freely. And the Commission on Appraisal's report in 1997, Interdependence, Renewing Congregational Polity, made a clear distinction between religious and secular covenants with this quote: religious, as distinct from secular covenants, are grounded in spiritual realities that were understood traditionally as divine gifts. For these gifts, the people entering the covenant acknowledged gratitude as part of a covenant. James Luther Adams has emphasized that an authentic covenant is rooted in love, not law. When I was doing my doctorate in creating healthy human systems, I remember reading in one of the only four books that actually addressed how to create healthy systems that healthy systems do not follow rules. They negotiate around values. Another way to say they are covenantal. And for this reason, I believe marriages are religious covenants rather than legal contracts. When a marriage fails, it is usually because the parties involved have lost contact with the gratitude for what they are or were together. The understanding that their relationship is rooted in love. And I think the same could be said of the relationships between ministers and congregations. They must be rooted in love. Historically, it has always been under the rubric of covenant that our congregations gathered. The history of Unitarianism on this continent tells us that American Unitarianism came out of the congregational churches established in Massachusetts, which organized themselves around the principles articulated in the Cambridge Platform of 1648, good old Cambridge Platform. This document was created to settle differences and to explain themselves to the Church of England, to which they all professed to belong. Doctrinally, consistent with the Reformation Christianity of the day, the platform sought to prove that Congregationalism was the best and most biblically accurate form of church governance, explaining themselves. The Cambridge Platform holds that there is no greater church than a congregation, which consists of, I love this language, visible saints in voluntary agreement and covenant with each other to worship, edify, and have fellowship. Each church is autonomous because there is no higher authority than the congregation. American Unitarianism emerged out of the culture that the Cambridge Platform described. Unitarian congregations elected their own leaders, determined their own membership, which was often how a congregation could be known as Unitarian, selected their own clergy, and paid their own way. The American Unitarian Association, organized in 1825 as an association of individuals, not congregations, and succeeded by the Unitarian Universalist Association in 1961, mimicked the practice of synods and councils through its May meetings and fall meetings. The former were business meetings of the association, the May meetings. Anyone heard of a general assembly? And those were not, until much after 1825, composed of congregations. This is why we weren't called a denomination. We were not composed of congregations. And the latter, the fall meetings, were the occasions of debate on issues and matters of faith, suitable subjects for a true synod, but not binding. Don't seem to do so much of that anymore, maybe some in the general assemblies. And the Universalists also, let us be reminded, have a long history of covenant. In 1790, 17 Universalists representing 8 societies convened in Philadelphia, where they drew up articles of faith and an organizational plan. The plan of church government adopted by the delegates was described as nearly that of the Congregational Church. I love that. We're almost there. And a church was defined as consisting of a number of believers united by covenant, for the purpose of maintaining the public worship of God, the preaching of the gospel, ordaining officers, preserving order and peace amongst its members, makes one wonder what they were doing, and relieving the poor. Each church was empowered to decide on the call, qualification, and gifts of those who wished to devote themselves to God and the ministry, and to solemnly set apart and ordain such persons. So the language of covenant has powerful roots for both Unitarians and Universalists. Conrad Wright reminds us, however, that UUs have 2 major issues with covenants: language, A, and taking the covenant seriously. The language problem echoes the charge that Unitarian Universalists do not sing hymns well because we are always reading ahead to see if we agree with the words. I'm happy to say that I have not experienced this here yet. I'm having a good time singing with you. With covenants, it is important to pay attention to the words, but we can also, and this is important, we can also avoid taking any action while we quibble over words, rather than taking the Quaker path, which is that the covenants are about me moving forward with meaningful action in our world. With regard to the idea that we do not take our covenants seriously, Conrad Wright writes, I love to say that, the other problem with our covenants is that we do not take them seriously enough. We need to pay more attention to what the commitments are that are undertaken in a covenantal relationship and how they may be terminated. Joining a church should not be quite the same thing as joining the National Geographic Association. I put sick there because, of course, it is the National Geographic Society. But anyway, you created your covenant of community, which you read a few moments ago, as part of your mission, values, and covenant. This is a serious piece of work, and I delight that you read it regularly as a spiritual community. Doing that reminds each of you of the commitments you make to one another as members of this congregation. But writing and reading a covenant will only serve you insofar as you also continue to ponder your promises and how they speak to you in your day-to-day interactions among yourselves. This seems simple enough, but figuring it out in specific instances can be challenging. For instance, and for example, how do you prioritize a particular time, talent, and resources at your disposal so that your life reflects your UU covenant? If you were charged with being a Unitarian Universalist, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You are currently being invited to pledge the resources of time, talent, and treasure at your disposal to this congregation through your yearly pledge campaign. This way, you know that the church will continue to provide the place in which you may act upon your covenant. In response, you have the right to be treated thoughtfully and respectfully here. Being in covenant may also mean that you show up and do meaningful work when needed, such as putting sweat equity into the buildings and the programs of this congregation. Being in covenant means, well, each of you can add your particular ways of offering your time, talent, and treasure to this community. So what is the covenant that Unitarian Universalism offers? What are these purposes and principles of which we speak? They provide a what of UU covenant, the values that bond us together, that hold us together. There are always those who disagree with one or another of the values, but since they were reworked and from 1981 to 1985, the congregations who remain in membership agree that these are the foundation or center from which radiates our movement. We base our understanding of religion not on institutions, doctrines, or creeds, but on values. Unitarian Universalists seem especially focused on the question, what is important? When the American Unitarian Association merged with the Universalist Church of America in 1961, the foundation for that merger lay in a statement of principles. If they are new to you, as I suspect they are not, you can read them in the front of the hymn book, Singing the Living Tradition. That's the gray hymn book. Or pick up a card that has them written on them. These purposes and principles assert the values. Of course, Living our covenant means we challenge each other when we fall short of our values. And the UU perspective emphasizes what unites us rather than what divides us. Inclusion means we do not exclude people because of ethnic background, physical ability, age, class, you know the laundry list. We are grateful to be together with our differences, encouraging and enriching the whole. And we also recognize that the spiritual, the holy, is found in the spaces between us, in the relationship we build through covenant. So as committed members and friends who agree to a covenant, we undertake the true task of religious community that the Reverend Dr. Mark Morrison Reed outlined in his pithy statement, "The central task of religious community is to unveil the bonds that bind each to all. There is a connectedness, a relationship discovered amid the particulars of our own lives and the lives of others. Once felt, it inspires us to act for justice. It is the church that assures us that we are not struggling for justice on our own, but as members of a larger community. The religious community is essential, for alone our vision is too narrow to see all that must be seen, and our strength too limited to do all that must be done. Together, our vision widens, and our strength is renewed. Each and every time we recreate and attend to a covenant, we build stronger spiritual connections and greater trust among us. Thus, we entertain an even greater possibility for becoming a true community of memory and hope that will create and sustain a people of committed values for generations to come. Amen. Amen. So be it, and blessed.